Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is February 13th, and our reading comes from Matthew chapter 27. Beginning in verse 32, says this, along the way, they're taking Jesus to be crucified, and along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry the cross of Jesus. So Jesus has been so abused that at this point, he's really not capable of getting his cross to Golgotha, and Simon has to carry it. But when I read that, one thing that comes to mind is simply this. The truth is, Jesus told all of us to take up our cross and follow Jesus. In other words, following Jesus ought to be a sacrifice. And in American culture, I think sometimes we've been sacrifice avoidant, right? We've not been willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God and for the people that Jesus died for. So let's take up our cross. Let's ask God, God, what do you want me to sacrifice? And what would I have to do in order to make a sacrifice for the sake of your kingdom? Verse 35, after they nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And of course, that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there, and a sign was fastened above Jesus, above his head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. And the people passing by, they shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at him now," they yelled at him. "You said you're going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Well, then if you are the Son of God, save yourself. Come down from the cross." And in that moment, what they don't realize is Jesus could have gotten off the cross, no problem. He chose to go there. Again, I love what Jesus said in John 10. "Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down voluntarily, and I have the power to take it up again." So in this scene, Jesus is laying it down, and 3 days later, he will take it up again. Well, then the religious leaders do the same thing. Verse 42, "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. If he is the King of the Jews, then rescue yourself," right? And once again, Jesus is there because he wanted to be. Verse 45, "At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'My God, why have you abandoned me?'" I'm convinced that this was probably the worst moment in this whole ordeal for Jesus. I mean, just imagine how terrible it would be to lose someone you love. Imagine how terrible it would be if somebody you love turned their back on you and walked away. You were betrayed. You were abandoned. You were left. You were alone. Jesus feels that in this moment as he takes upon himself the sin of the world, and the Father turns away. In that moment, he feels the agony of being alone for the first time in eternity. Man, it was a heartbreaking, crushing weight that Jesus chose to suffer in order to save our souls. Verse 50, "Then Jesus shouted again, and he released his spirit." So he died. And at that moment, verse 51, "The curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." So if you went into the Jewish sanctuary, there was a large, very thick curtain that hung from the ceiling to the floor that separated the people of God from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of God. Well, once Jesus died and sin was paid for, that curtain separating the people from the presence was torn, and it wasn't torn from bottom up, it was torn top down. God made a way. We didn't climb up. God came down and he ripped apart the dividing wall between us and God so that we can have a relationship with God. And when we place our faith and trust in him, God comes to live inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the separation has been removed. Then the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. And they left the seminary after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. So when Jesus rose, some other people rose from the grave. So there was a great demonstration of power. In fact, so much so, verse 54, a Roman officer and these other soldiers who crucified people regularly, when they saw all of these events, they were terrified by the earthquake and all that it happened, and they said, "This man truly was the Son of God." In other words, they were open-hearted enough to recognize, we've never seen anything like this. We've crucified a lot of criminals, but we've never seen it go dark nighttime in the middle of the day. We've never seen the dead raised from the dead. We've never experienced an earthquake when we saw somebody die, right? They experienced all this. They're looking around and saying, this is not like anything we've ever experienced. Truly, this is the Son of God. Then watch this. Verse 57. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had been a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate, asked for the body. He wrapped the body in a clean linen cloth, and he placed it in a tomb carved out of a rock, and he rolled a great stone across the entrance. So Joseph buries Jesus, gives him an honorable burial. Then in verse 62, watch this. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver Jesus once said while he was still alive that after 3 days I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body away and then telling everybody he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." So Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So he sealed this tomb and posted guards to protect it. So the Jews were very concerned that Jesus would be resurrected or that the disciples would take the body and claim he was resurrected. So they went to great lengths to secure the tomb of Jesus, which is further evidence that he did indeed rise from the dead. So they've sealed the tomb, which means it's illegal to open it. And if you open it, the penalty is death for all of these soldiers. If the tomb is, the seal is broken and the tomb is open, the penalty for them is death. So the Jews and the Romans are working together to make sure that the body stays in the tomb. But there's one problem. 3 days later, the tomb is empty. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. I'm so glad you're with me today. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for just the encouragement that we've heard today to know that Jesus went to the cross for us, that you could have gotten down when they were mocking you and making fun of you. You stayed on the cross because you chose to stay on the cross. You laid down your life for us. God, we want to lay down our life for you. Help us, like Simon, to take up our cross, to be willing to sacrifice for the sake of your kingdom and the people you love. And God, we're so grateful that this is not the end of the story, that after 3 days, you rose again in the very same way. God, you died to pay for our sin, but you rose from the dead to give us eternal life. And through our faith in you, we will live forever. Thank you, Lord, for being such a great Savior. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me today. Hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.